Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
The schedule is out. And I love one aspect of it that's actually been missing lately.
Bye? A late bye?
A what?
The late bye?
No.
Oh, okay.
We actually had the exact same bye this past year.
Okay.
So, since you said that, what do you make of the bye? Week 10. Like that?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. As a player, loved it. Loved a later bye. Much prefer a little bit later than early. But you just never quite know with the bye. You know, if you're feeling great and you're healthy at that time late in the season, then you don't want it. If you're banged up early in the season, you'd like it early. So you don't really ever know when's a great time. But if you're sitting there right now, where would you prefer it as a player a little bit later? You know, when you're starting to tire down a little bit, wear down, maybe some injuries are creeping up, the later the better usually?
Well, typically I would agree. And week 10 is a great bye week period, in my opinion. This year, I'd like to have it 1 week or two early if it was a perfect, like, utopia and I got to choose, because we start training camp a week early and we got an extra preseason game. So we're going to play 14 games before the bye.
That's on the coach. It's on the coach, right? Manage these guys' time, keep them fresh. He realizes when the bye is. And so, you know what? You might just give them a couple of days off during training camp because you're starting earlier and yada, yada, yada. Or you might not even go on the field. You might just do meeting time for 3 days in a row. Something like that. Something crazy like that. We had to do that one time in Indianapolis with Tony Dungy when we went to play in Japan. We had an extra preseason game. Well, what happens when we came back? We had a couple of days off. Rest up, recover, all those types of things. So that comes to the coaching staff and to formulate a plan for these guys so they are feeling fresh and not worn down week four or five.
Sure. Well, Vic's never done this before, so it's going to be interesting how he handles his newfound decision-making authority. Real quick, the bye, to your point, and this is not the direction where I wanted to go, but I'm glad you said it. You said the bye depends on how you're playing. If you're banged up and you need a rest and you've lost three in a row, well, maybe that's perfect. That's what happened to the Broncos this past year, where they were reeling. They had lost 6 of 7. The bye week hit week 10. They came out and beat the Chargers in L.A. They came home and beat the Steelers, and then they went to Cincy and beat the Bengals. So it worked out this past year. Hopefully, obviously.
For 3 weeks,
right. The initial direction that I wanted to go that I said I love about one aspect of this that's been missing lately, and you tell me what you think. I love the idea of the Broncos opening up the season on the road at two of their first three games, as opposed to the opposite. I like the idea of facing adversity on the road early and conversely, finishing back-to-back home games late. That if you're in it, you know you're going to play at mile high in consecutive weeks. And in the past 2 years, the Broncos have had home games early. In 2017, three of their first four games were home. In 2018, their first 2 weeks were home, and they've won them. And it's created like this false sense of identity. And they've collapsed down the stretch. I want to see it the opposite this time around.
I hear what you're saying. Look, it hadn't worked out the last couple of years. Starting a lot of, you know, having your early games at home. I look at it as, okay, you got a new coaching staff, new offense, new defenses, all those things. I would prefer to play in my environment with my crowd noise, where I feel most comfortable. That gives me the best advantage to start off fast. Late in the season, look, the operation's set. You know, week 15, 16, 17, I mean, operation's in now. You feel comfortable with your offense. Hopefully you've gelled by then, especially offensively. 2018 Broncos offense is still trying to gel.
Still building a library.
Still working on it. Still building towards that, Zach, being a good offense and a competent offense. But hopefully the 2019 version will be there by late in the season.
Right.
So I kind of, and I know what you're saying, you know, it kind of, we got out of the gates and we looked good. And then the next thing you know, it was like, oh, maybe you would prefer to play some of those games later at home.
Right.
I look at it as I'd like to start fast. I would. And what gives a team the best opportunity to start fast, I would say playing at home and playing with your fans in the place that you feel most comfortable. I would prefer, but we'll see how it plays out. Just never quite know. Some teams play better on the road early and just get rid of all the distraction of being at home and just go out on the road, us against the world. And
I think both rationales make sense.
Bottom, I think mine makes a little bit more sense, but
just
a little bit.
Depends who you ask.
Just a little bit.
Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line. Who's right? 303-713-1043. You know, Johnny hit us up and he said, hey, can you give me what you think of the schedule and give me a key game.
Did you ignore him like I did?
No, I did the work.
Oh, I ignored him.
And I think he might have something up at 1043thefan.com, but what I said to him is I looked at the schedule and I looked at every single game. And look, it's the NFL. You could argue any week is important, especially if you're in it. You know, the importance builds. But what better way to kick off the Vic Fangio era by going to your rival in primetime, beating them in their house, and starting the season 1-0, beating the Raiders in Oakland on Monday Night Football?
Yeah. I mean, that'd be a great way to start.
Just tuck a road division win in your pocket. That, I mean, what a tone setter that would be.
I can't wait. So that'd be the second half of the, that'd be the last game of the week there, right?
Correct. Could be the punctuation mark at the end of the opening of
the
NFL weekend.
It's great for a player. You know, you never really love playing on Monday night for the most part. I mean, it's fun because everybody's watching you, but a short week and the next week, all those things, the long week, the week before leading up to it. And
sure.
But what a great way to start the season, you know, with that type of game. All eyes will be on you. A lot of fun. Did you go through the schedule at all? Like, you know, like early schedule prediction? Did you do it? I did it.
You did it? Oh, wait. You did the way too early prediction.
The way too early. I did do it. How could you not do it? And I just went through, bam, and I did it. And it is what it is.
I cannot. Are you going to share? Do you feel comfortable sharing?
Of course.
We'll get to it next. All right, so we're just doing it. Like, why not? We're just going to do it.
That's what you do, right? It's schedule comes out, you do it. You got to say, okay, win, loss. Realizing it's only April.
Right.
A lot will change by the time the season starts.
Right, so we're acknowledging, before we go any further,
turn your listening caps on.
My wife does this thing.
Yeah, turn them on.
Put your listening ears on.
Way too early.
It's a way too early prediction, but a prediction nonetheless. All right. You made me do it. Johnny asked me for one. I'm like, I can't. How am I going to do it before the draft? He's like, just do it before the draft.
Right, just do it.
You know, we can change it.
That's where we are right now.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Week one. Monday Night Football. Raiders.
Loss.
I got it as a win.
Yep. We talked about it yesterday.
Yep. I believe the Broncos are ahead of where the Raiders are at. I think they're building. I think they may have a better trajectory than the Broncos.
Early point spread, Raiders minus 2.5. So Raiders are the favorite in that game.
They are, but when I hear that and the game's in Oakland, I hear that in my interpretation of if it's at a neutral site, the Broncos are a half point.
But it's not, Zach. The Raiders are a favorite. And they're playing at home, so it's not at a neutral site. It's not in Denver. This game is in Oakland.
But I think that's part of the context. They're like, you get 3 points for being home. So if it was a neutral site, the Broncos would be a favorite.
I'm not saying that
they are a favorite.
Doesn't matter.
It's part of the context.
The Raiders are supposed to win this game. There you go.
And the Broncos are going to win it.
And I'm picking them.
All right, I'm picking the Broncos. All right, week two, Chicago Bears. This is the Vic Fangio Bowl. It's here at Mile High. What do you think?
I'm going to give the Broncos a win in that one. At home. Opening the season up. Broncos play well at home usually. And so I think the trend continues. I got the Broncos winning this one, even though the Bears had a resurgence last year, and they do look like a really good football team, and they should be pretty good again this year. I don't know about Mr. Biscay. I'm not sold on him. You're playing at home, W Broncos.
And I think we have a built-in advantage of Vic Fangio watching a guy like Mitch Trubisky the last 2 years and knowing some of his tendencies and maybe scheme up.
That's right.
All right.
Scheme up.
All right, so we both have a win there. This is our first agreement. Week three. This is going to be a fun one. In Lambeau, against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
Early start. It looks like 11 o'clock. Early start on the road.
That's right.
Aaron Rodgers. Packers should be better this year.
They were 6-10 last year.
I got that as a loss for the Broncos.
I also have it as a loss.
Okay.
All right. So I have them off to a 2-1 start. You have them at a 1-2 start.
1-2 start.
Week 4, Jacksonville Jags. That is home. That is an afternoon start. I have this as a W for the Denver Broncos.
I do also. At home.
Okay.
2-2 for me.
Week 5. I got them at 3-1 here. Going into week 5 at L.A. in that rinky-dink little, what is it, the StubHub, whatever it is?
That baby soccer stadium.
The baby soccer stadium. I think the one in Commerce City's bigger here. I have the Chargers beating the Broncos.
Yes. In L.A., yes. That's a loss.
Okay. Week 6 against the Tennessee Titans. That is a home game here in Mile High. What do you got?
W.
Same.
Playing at home. Going to beat the Titans.
I like it. Week 7. I'm interested to see Marcus Mariota.
So I'm 3-3 right now.
I am 4-2.
Okay.
Yep. Coming off that win against the Titans in our way too early prediction, week 7. It's a Thursday night primetime game against Kansas City. It's here at home.
Loss. Loss. Loss.
Okay.
What do you have?
I have the Broncos avenging their primetime loss from a year ago in the first portion of the season where they gave up a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. You and I were both in there at that game. I have them avenging that game and humbling the Chiefs. I think the Broncos pull it off at home.
Could happen. It could. Playing at home. You remember last year's game? They had them on the ropes. Should have won that one. But playing at home, they could beat the Chiefs.
And don't be surprised if Tyreek Hill's not playing in that one. Mm. This is in the first half of the season. You know, we'll have to wait and see what happens there. Week 8 against the Indianapolis Colts.
Loss.
This is in Indy. I also have it as a loss. I think if I'm buying stock in a team this year, I think might want to throw a couple pesos down on those Colts.
Sounds good.
All right. Week 9, Sunday, at home. One of the sexiest teams in football that I think has 4 primetime games for like the first time in my lifetime. I know. We're going to talk about that in a couple minutes. Right. But the Cleveland Browns.
Win.
Here in Denver. I got it as a win also.
Got it as a win. Playing at home against the Browns. A debacle last year. The fourth down debacle, which will live in infamy.
Mm.
Did I say that right?
Infamy, yes. That's
okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And what was that? It was fourth and one from the six.
Yeah.
Fourth and one from the six.
Let's kick the field goal.
And we kicked the field goal. And it was the week after, 2 weeks after, Vance said, I told my guys we're going to go for it on fourth down. That's our mentality.
Yeah.
It's fourth and one from the six, 2 weeks later against the Browns.
And you kick the field goal.
You kick a field goal. Mm. Then the bye week comes. All right. So we all take a deep breath. And they bounce out of the bye week and go to Minnesota and play.
We call this
the Kubiak Bowl.
The Kubiak Bowl. Early start, I got it as a loss.
I have it as a loss as well. I think the Vikings are going to have a bounce-back season, by the way. I think they fulfilled the 2018 expectations in 2019. So I also have that as a loss. Now we're three-quarters of the way through the season, nearly. Week 12, Sunday, at Buffalo. This is an early start in a tough place to play. Someone's going to throw an object on the field, I'm sure.
People are going to be going through tables. So, yeah.
A couple of them will be on fire.
It is a really, really tough place to play. I don't know when the last time we won there. It seems like the last two times we played there, we've lost. Early start, that's a loss.
I have it as a loss as well. That's a tough defense. And they're sort of building. So I have it as a loss, too, because of those reasons that you just named. Week 13, it's a Sunday game, afternoon, here at Mile High against the Chargers. Do the Broncos repay the favor?
Nope, loss.
Mm. I have it as a win.
Okay.
Even in a 5-win season and a 6-win season, we found a way to beat the Chargers both times. I think that trend continues here in Denver. All right. Week 14. At the Houston Texans. It's an early start, 11 a.m.
Goodness, a lot of early starts for the Broncos on the road. On the road versus the Texans, that's a loss.
I have it as a loss as well. Week 15, at Kansas City. Another 11 a.m. start.
No need to explain that one. We can just move on. Loss.
Take the L. I have it as
on
well.
Way out.
Week 16. Now, this could be Saturday or Sunday. It's like one of these to-be-determined games against the Detroit Lions. I have that as a
whole... less prime time that game's going to be on, okay? So just pencil that thing in.
All right, don't be a jerk.
I'm being honest. You want truth or you want, you know, me to think that it's going to be a prime time game versus the Detroit Lions in week 16? Seriously. Just be honest here.
I have it as a win.
I have it as a win, too. A win on a not a prime time game win. Okay. There you go.
All right. Week 17, Sunday. We finish up at home against the Raiders.
Against the Raiders. All right. We always split with the Raiders. We split with them again. I had them losing the first game. They're going to win this one.
Okay. I have it as a win as well. In our way too early prediction.
Yes. Say it again.
It's a way too early prediction. Before the draft, got it. All right. So after we said all of that, what do you have the Broncos at?
6-10.
Mm.
And I just did it, just boom, boom, you know, and the next thing you know, I look up 6-10, like, ouch. What do you have?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
9?
I have them at 9-7. This is probably the exact spectrum for the Broncos.
Yeah. Yep.
If they overachieve, maybe they can win 10. If they underachieve, maybe they win 5 or 6.
Yeah, I think it's right between 6 and 9, right there. I don't think they can get to 10. I don't think they're that good. I don't think they can, they're not as bad as 5. But I think 6 to 9 wins is their sweet spot.
Don't tell Von Miller that.
Really?
And I'll tell you why next. So we just went through our way too early prediction through the schedule. Yeah, we did it. We did it.
So what? We did it.
You had them at 6-10. I have them at 9-7. And I think it's appropriate that we came out the way that we did. Because I think it's the spectrum of the Broncos. And I think that if you're on the low side of what you think the Broncos could be, I think you're probably talking about 6-10. And I think if you're on the high side, you're talking about 9-7, maybe 10-6. I can't get there yet. I have them at 9-7. I think they're vastly improved for a handful of different reasons that Von Miller went out and sort of articulated just yesterday.
Yeah, hell yeah. I mean, you know, we're running, you know, a branch of, you know, Shanahan's offense on offense, and we're running Fangio defense on defense. It's two great schemes. We got a lot of great players. We had a lot of young guys that came and made a lot of great plays and had an impact on the team last year. And those guys are going to be second-year players this year. You know, their load is going to jump all the way up. Cortland Sutton is going to play out of his mind this year. And Bradley Chubb and, you know, Phillip Lindsay and all of those guys. And, you know, and myself. And, you know, we got Flacco. He's a big-time quarterback. You know, he knows what it feels like to win a Super Bowl. And he's been there. He's done it. And we, you know, I've been there and I've done it on defense as well. So we've got a lot of great pieces. We just got to go out there and win. And I think with Fangio leading the ship, it's a good fit for us. It just feels good. It just feels good. It just feels different. And, you know, we got to get everybody all the way in. It's still early. You know, I'm one of the most optimistic guys that there are. You know, so if you're asking me, it feels good. And this is the team to do it.
So interesting stuff there from Von. Yes, we know that Von's optimistic. That's not a secret. But at the same time, what did he say that wasn't true?
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. I mean, they do have a lot of good pieces. But so do a lot of other NFL teams. A lot of NFL teams got a lot of really good pieces.
Sure.
You know, Raiders are looking at what they've added and some of their second-year players from their draft last year and how many first-round picks they have this year and Antonio Brown and Trent Brown and yada, 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 right? They're going to be a lot better. Chiefs, addition of the Honey Badger. And, I mean, so you look around the league, everybody's got good pieces. So that's one part of it, yeah. But the other part is, you know, do you finish games off? Do you win those close ones? Can you make those field goals? Can you figure out a way to get those stops? I mean, that's what it comes down to. That's what it boils down to. I had them at 6-10 just going through it. You had them at 9-7. Look, it's not that big of a difference. Three games is not that big. Do you make the field goal or do you miss the field goal?
Right.
Right? Do you hit Demaryius Thomas on the sideline, or do you miss Demaryius Thomas? Can you close a game out late in a football game, or do you let the Chiefs convert a third down and 50? I mean, you know, so those are the differences between three games, between 6 and 10 and 9 and 7.
So true.
I mean, that's where it's going to be at,
it's
right
so
there.
So true. I mean, these NFL teams are, I mean, there's a reason. It's the most parity-driven league. That seven teams that didn't make the playoffs in 2017 made the playoffs in 2019. And I like the way that you just said that. Like, say Case Keenum hits DT. Well, now you're 7-9 instead of 6-10. Say McManus makes the field goal, game-winning field goal against the Texans. Well, now you're 8-8. Maybe Vance Joseph keeps his job.
Say Vance Joseph goes for it on 4th-and-1 against the Cleveland Browns. You end up scoring a touchdown. 9-7. Just like that. So,
and then on the flip side, though, say you don't come back and beat the Seahawks or come back and beat the Raiders.
That's right.
Maybe you're 4-12.
That's absolutely right. And that's the bulk of the games in the NFL. They come down to a few plays late in a football game. Do you make them or do you not? I don't care about all of these changes and all of these different parts and why you should be better and this and that. It all comes down to usually the last 4 minutes of a football game. Do you make the plays to win or do you not make the plays? If you make the plays, you can be 9-7. If you don't, you'll be 6-10. That's what it boils down to.
So true. And that's why we love this league. That's why we love it. I mean, how many teams right now have an understanding that they have absolutely, positively no shot to make the playoffs? 2? 3? I mean, everyone thinks they have a shot.
There's not many. There's not many that you can really look at and say, definitely not a playoff team. I mean, you look at the Broncos, they're in the conversation to be a playoff team. You look at probably like, I would say the Jets. Even them, they put some good money in the free agency. They got a second-year quarterback, so the division's kind of wide open. Patriots are the top team. Other than that, I mean, I'd say the Dolphins probably. Dolphins would be one team.
Yeah, probably.
Playoffs, forget about it. Who else?
Yeah, but I mean, beyond that, you got the Dolphins who probably have an understanding that they have no shot.
I give you another one that I think.
Let me guess. The Cardinals.
Yeah, that's another one.
And
I got one other team, and I got one other team. Maybe two.
That's as far as I'm going to go.
Okay. Cincinnati.
Okay.
They're a wrap. No chance.
Okay.
The other one, I'm Giants.
I'm not going there.
I am. That's going to be a bad football team.
Okay. It could be.
They traded Olivier Vernon. They traded Odell Beckham. I know they added a piece to the offensive line in one of those trades. And they got Peppers, Julius, what's his name from Michigan, the safety that they got from the Browns.
Jabril?
Yeah, Jabril. They might be getting Julius Peppers too. Who knows?
Who knows?
Need some help off the edge. Thought he retired, but maybe he'll come back.
Maybe so. He's like a
25th
physical
year.
Freak.
Yeah. So I don't see the Giants being able to do it.
Okay, so let's just assume that's the case. That's four teams.
That's it.
And by the way,
even like those back end teams are probably, I think Cincinnati fans they're realistic about what they see. But some Giants fans are probably like, okay, we can do this thing. Look, we got, you know, this person, this piece.
Addition by subtraction.
Yeah, we got
with OBJ.
Right, we got a couple first round picks. Let's hit on these picks and so
yeah. Look, this is why we love the NFL.
Yep.
This is why we love the NFL. And with the Broncos, there are tangible things to point to for reasons of optimism. Like, and I understand the margin is so razor thin in this league. But the things that Vaughn said, at least it's founded.
That's right.
Like he can actually say, look at these second-year pros. You know, Sutton's going to be a beast. Chubb already is. He's about to grow even further. Phillip Lindsay, you know, Pro Bowler in year two. We couldn't point to the class of 17 last year and say, well, DeMarcus Walker, look what he did his rookie year. He's going to even take a bigger jump. Like, oh, Garrett Bowles, man, he was a Pro Bowler at left tackle, man. We got it figured out. We couldn't do that with that class.
You think Lindsay can get better?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I think that in terms of like getting better as a football player, yes, but in terms of his production, no.
Right. I mean,
does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you. I think they can use them in other ways to get in the passing game. We can get more from him, but like rushing, running the football. I can't see him like all of a sudden going for 1,100 yards next year.
Oh, I could see him going for 1,100, but that's still like not. I mean, he was over 1,000 this year.
Oh,
That would be 70. No, it would be 63 more yards, and he's at 1,100. He got thrown out of the Raiders game and missed the last game.
Ravens
and a half.
Game.
Or Ravens game. I mean, throwing them little rabbit punches.
I can't believe they threw him out for that.
I know, seriously.
But I just think that I'm hoping that they use him a little bit differently, more in the passing game, a little bit less in the running game. A little bit more from Royce Freeman. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see.
But Von's right. You're right. You can look at a lot of these pieces and say, look, they really good last year for rookies. I mean, they should be so much better going into year two.
You know, Mark Schlereth gave a prediction on their record as well.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what he said next. He gave our way too early season prediction as the schedule came out. We know a lot of things are going to change between then and now, and our predictions may change with it. But this is where we're at. This is what we do, and we had some fun with it. Stoke had them at 6-10. I have them at 9-7. Mark Schlereth did his way too early prediction. Do you want to predict what Mark predicted?
Yeah, sure. I think Mark's pretty realistic. I think Mark probably has him at 7-9.
7-9?
I'll say 7-9 for Schlereth.
Okay, I don't know what he predicted. Neither do you. Let's hear what it sounded like this morning.
I think this team has got 8-8 written all over. I think it's going to be 5-4, even 4-5 is a more realistic. Kind of a realistic outlook of those first 9 games.
Can the draft change your mind?
Oh, yeah. Certainly.
There you go, Nate. Okay. All right. And like you said, the draft can change our minds, right? This is just the early. A lot transpires between now and the regular season.
Of course.
So, injuries, draft, all of these things. But certainly, you know, I had them at 6-10. You had them at 9-7. Anywhere in between, I think, is really realistic right now with where we sit here today.
Yeah.
And you can make a good argument for all of them.
And I think taking it a step further in either direction from your prediction and my prediction is probably, for this point in time, taking it a little bit too far. Like, if you were going to say, you have them at 6-10. If someone was going to say, no, I have them at 5-11. Like, I think what we're looking at, it's too good to just...
Right.
Lose 11 games.
Right.
I just don't believe that. And on the other side, conversely, if you're going to say, no, I see 10 wins, I think you're just being a little, like, little stretching it a little too much.
Yeah, I'm with you. I look at this, and I don't like to just throw a number out there like 8-8 or 9-7. Like, you go through each game. Like, what do you have them, how you have them in this game? And then at the end, you just look at it like, oh, I didn't realize I had them 6-10.
Right.
I just went through every game, whether I thought they would win it or lose it. You look at the time. You look at where they're playing these teams. All those things matter to me. And I just went through it. Loss, win. Okay, loss, win. And then I look back. I'm like, dang, I only had them winning 6 games.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Didn't know it at all. So.
And that's interesting you said that, because I see a RamosLaw.com text, 303-713-1043, says, how do you guys come up with your predictions? Is it based off strength of schedule? Do you think they're lacking in talent? Basically, how I did it is I, like you, okay, you look at the opponent. Where are they playing? Let's start there. What time are you playing? Who's their quarterback? Who's their coach? What did they do a year ago? And what sort of bones are left over from that team? That's how I looked at it.
Yeah, look, if you're playing the Buffalo Bills at home, I got it as a win. You're playing on the road in Buffalo late in the season, and it's an early start game.
Right.
To me, that's a recipe for disaster. I picked the Broncos, I think, last couple of times going on the road to Buffalo, and they've lost both times. So it's a hard place to play, especially late in the football season. You don't know what you're going to get with the weather. I have it as a loss for the Broncos. Now, obviously, if it was at home, that's an easy win. I have it as a big win. But on the road, I just can't give the Broncos a win in that game.
So
way to be negative Nancy, guys. So Sorry, Chris. Just keeping it real, buddy. Just keeping it real.
And really, so and to Chris.
Chris and Brighton.
We're just telling you what we think, okay? We hear, and this is how I know we do a good job, all right? We hear the same stuff from both sides. We hear you're being too negative, and I mean on a day-to-day basis. You guys are being way too negative, and then the next text will be, take your orange and blue glasses off. You know, stop graveling at the feet of the Broncos. Like, no, we're just telling you what we think from where we stand right now on April 18th. And by the way, reasonable minds can disagree. Stokely and I have a vastly different view of where the Broncos are at right now. It's a 3-game difference on a 16-game schedule. That's significant.
It is. It is. But it comes down to a play here or there. Late in a football game.
And you don't think they can make them. It's what you're telling me. You don't think that they can make the play late.
Some games I do. Some games I don't.
Right.
More games I don't think they can make them. You know, you have them, I think, beating Kansas City at home. And I could see them beating Kansas City at home, certainly.
They should have last year.
They should have last year. But don't compare this year to last year.
I'm not, and that's why I have them beating them. Because I don't think they'd be playing with Tyreek Hill. Kareem Hunt's not breaking away on the left side in the fourth quarter, getting them downfield. I mean, we got to remember how good that guy was.
Yeah.
And they don't have him.
No, they don't have him.
So there's tangible things I can point to.
Well, they got Patrick Mahomes going into his third year now, in his second year starting.
Yeah. Maybe he'll be throwing lefty sidearms at us again.
But you look at that game, and I could see it. Like, okay, Broncos win that game. But just right now, in April, I was just like, I have more confidence in the Kansas City Chiefs than I do the Denver Broncos. So that's why I have them losing that game.
And that's fair.
Yep.
And that's fair. I have them splitting. If they split, that'd be a win.
You have them splitting with the Chargers, too, I think.
I have them splitting with the Chargers.
And I have them getting swept by both of those teams. So there you go.
Well, I hope you're wrong. I hope I'm right. And this RamosLaw.com text just sort of sums it up. It says, so Stokely, after all the changes the Broncos have made, they won't improve at all.
No.
Okay.
No. I guess not.
Okay.
I guess not. But here's the thing, and we just talked about it. Look, a lot of teams have made improvements and have gotten better. It comes down to end of football games. And last year could have been a lot worse. Last year could have been a lot better. You know, what happens if they, like you said earlier, what happens if they didn't make the plays against Seattle late in the game or Oakland late in the game?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if they did make the plays against Cleveland and Houston and Kansas City? I mean, so that's what it boils down to, really. I think they'll look better. But that doesn't mean that their record's going to be better. I think they'll be better coached, better prepared. But that doesn't mean you're going to go from 6-10 to 10-6.
Right. I'm not going to tell you you're crazy.
Well, good.
But don't tell me I'm not either.
No, you're not. You're not. You're not. You got them at 9-7. I mean, I think you made a great point. I think that's probably the sweet point. From somewhere between 6-10 and 9-7, I think. It could go either way for the Broncos.
Yeah. Nope. And the draft could change that. You drop Ed Oliver in the middle of the defense, and you got those bad boys
Devin
coming
White.
Off the edge. You got Devin White.
One of those guys.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, look.
Is Chris Harris going to get done or not? I mean, tell me. I don't know. Right now, he's not. So that's another big part of this whole thing for me.
There's a lot
and
still
like
left
you said,
unsaid.
You got to say it again.
What did I say?
Way too early.
So way too early predictions.
Right. Yeah. So let's just put that out there. We know what we're doing here. This is way, way too early predictions. We're having fun with it. The schedule just came out. We just went through it. Win, loss. A lot is going to change by the time we get to the football season.
And I'm glad you reset that. We're not like lifting the tablets of the Ten Commandments in stone. Like 6-10 forevermore.
That's right.
All right, let's take a pause on this conversation and bring back in our guy, Earl Boykins. All right, we very much appreciate Earl Boykins, one half of the Mile High Hoops podcast, which you can catch just about everywhere on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and, of course, 1043thefan.com, stopping by Stokely and Zach. And just want to wrap about tonight's game. What does your gut tell you? What's your impression? And I'll just, like, leave it to you. What are you thinking right now?
I think tonight's game is going to be a different beast for the Denver Nuggets. I think they're actually going to see San Antonio come out very aggressive at the beginning of the basketball game. I believe San Antonio is going to try to knock the Nuggets out early. I think they're going for the kill early in the game. I think the Nuggets, especially Jamal Murray, Monte Morris, Monte, I expect them to play better tonight because they're on the road. I don't expect them to have the pressure of the crowd, that type of thing. Paul Millsap, he's going to play. He has to play the way he's played the first two games in terms of just setting the tone early.
You mentioned Jamal. He was the definition of yin and yang, hot and cold. For three quarters of that game, he was just bad. And we've talked about that on the podcast. Can he continue what he did in the fourth quarter? Not to the extent, because that could never be an expectation. Yeah. Him going just fully crazy. But are you expecting him to be closer to that semblance?
I do. I think the key is going to be the first quarter. How many threes he attempts as opposed to how many 15 to 18 pull-up jumpers that he takes. That's the shot that the San Antonio Spurs usually give everyone. They don't believe they can lose games on the 15 and 18-foot jumper.
Right.
And on the other end, it's weird because that's how they play the game. Aldridge is a 15 to 18-foot guy. DeRozan never shoots a three.
Right.
It's only 15 to 18-foot. And so I'm curious about shot selection with Murray as opposed to shot attempts. The first game, he didn't shoot the ball well, but I thought he took way too many threes. Game two, he didn't shoot the ball well early, but in the fourth quarter, he 1-3 out of the 8 shots he made when he went on the streak. It was more 15 to 18 foot pull-up shots. I think that's going to be a key to the game. Another key is going to be Will Barton.
So what's the deal there? Are you expecting him in the starting lineup?
I do.
You
because
do?
They won. I do because they won the basketball game. I think the fact that they won, coaches willing to roll the dice one more time with Will. Let's give him one more shot at this. But if he continues to struggle, I think he'll play similar to what he did last game in terms of not playing at all in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Because you can give a guy an opportunity, you know, to see if they have it going tonight. But you can't afford to lose a game waiting on a guy to get it going.
I was
going to
say, it feels like at this point you're hoping that he can figure it out, but hope's not a strategy. We don't have time for hope. This is a 1-1 series with the next two in San Antonio, which you haven't won there since 2012, which I think feel like we've said ad nauseum. Do you still view, I asked you the same question on the podcast, but I want to do it here again, the day of the game, game three. Are the Nuggets in your mind still the favorite?
No, they're not the favorite. They can be the favorite when, as you just said, you haven't won there in 5 years. And if you haven't won someplace, I know this is the playoff and everybody says it's a different animal, but San Antonio is a team that they've always protected their home court in the playoffs in the past. What they were able to do in games one and two, I think they believe that they're the better team now. If they had any doubt going into the series, I think they actually believe they're the better team because the Nuggets have really outplayed them one quarter, one out of eight quarters.
And I'm so glad you said that. It's really one out of eight quarters, and the way that you did it, it can't be relied upon.
Yes.
So that's a great point. Give me a quick prediction on the game.
I'm looking at, I would say, San Antonio, I expect them to win tonight 103-97.
Well, I hope you're wrong. My gut doesn't have a great feeling about it. But who knows? Who knows? I mean, look, this team didn't win 54 regular season games by accident.
That is true.
This is a new beast. This is a new beast, as you said. All right, we'll wait and find out. Thanks for dropping by.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, appreciate Earl dropping by. He's got a Spurs win. Like I said,
Come on, Earl.
Hope he's wrong.
I know.
Look, until we see it.
Hard to fault him.
Yeah, he's citing history, recent history. Going back to 2012 in terms of winning in San Antonio, and then the last two games here in Denver.
Any chance Will Barton's in the starting lineup tonight?
Yeah, for sure.
You think that's going to happen?
I do. Yeah.
If that happens, I'm automatically just, like, checked out. Like, okay.
Well, get ready, because he's going to get called out there. He's going to start. I'm telling you. And that's not the way that I would do it, and I think it's a mistake.
Right.
Because you're not counterpunching. You're not reacting to what you're seeing.
You got to make adjustments. It's the playoffs.
It's a playoff.
I understand that's your guy, but it only goes so far. When you're hitting off the side of the backboard on the side,
yeah,
you just need a break.
Yeah, tonight it just might go behind it.
Right,
just
like that. It's like my shot off the side of the
right. And like, Dave Buster's.